Hey friends, welcome to a new year of the Unseminary podcast. Today we're talking with Tyler Regan from Catalyst all about the interior life of leaders. And this really does remind me how important leadership development is in your church. Listen, people, it really is the difference between churches that are just surviving and churches that are prevailing. What are you going to do this year to develop the leaders in your community? Well, we've got a solution for you. It's called trainedup.church. This is an online training tool that's used by ministry leaders like you to train up volunteers, to develop leaders, and to teach the Bible. What this tool lets you do is build video courses. They have a series of pre-built ones that you can use, but then with their simple-to-use interface, you can make your own. And listen, you don't have to get people together for meetings. You don't have to get them together for training. This is really an opportunity for you to develop the people in your church. Listen, I want you to try it today. This would be a great way to kick off the new year. Drop by their website today, trainedup.church, and sign up for a demo. It only takes 20 minutes. Anyone in your church can participate. They have them on demand now, so it's very easy for you to check out. Listen, I would love for you to check it out. Now, anyways, that's again, trainedup.church. We'd love to jump into this episode with Tyler Regan.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host around these parts. I'm super excited that you've tuned in. Today we've got Tyler Regan on the line. Tyler is the president of Catalyst. You're probably familiar with them. They're, hugely popular conferences, one-day events, online, podcasts, leadership stuff. These guys seem to be everywhere. So welcome to the show, Tyler. Glad you're here today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Rich.
No, for people that listen into the Unseminary Podcast, you probably would know that we really like to have church leaders on the podcast, or really exclusively, functionally. We really only really want to talk to practitioners, but there are a few exceptions to that rule. Tyler is one of those. I think this is the second time you've been on the show. There's a couple other guys who don't work day-to-day in churches, but work with a lot of church leaders, and I appreciate their voices and really want to help expose you to them as leaders, but then also to try to use your aggregate get learning about all kinds of different churches. So why don't we start with, first of all, tell us about Catalyst for the two people who are listening and who don't know about Catalyst. Tell us about that and then we'll keep rolling along.
Yeah. Well, I'm not fighting for credibility, but I did work in the local church for 15 years. So it's my heartbeat, dude. I'm telling you, if I leave this place, which it will at some point, that's probably where I'm going back to, is the local church. I believe in it. That's why we do what we do. So Catalyst exists to equip and unify and challenge leaders who love the church. So whether you're a banker, an insurance agent, an educator, or a staff member at a church, we have to recognize that how we lead affects people's faith. And so we feel like God's kind of put this little group together, and John Maxwell started it 18 years ago, which is crazy. We were just planning and brainstorming our 20-year anniversary for Catalyst, which is 2019. And so we basically spend our days thinking, how do we serve leaders who love the church? Because it's that important. I mean, Rich, you and I both know, and everybody that's a church leader right now can think of a family member, a friend, or someone who's walked away from faith, not because of Jesus, but because of those of us that represent Jesus. And if you don't see the power of leadership when it comes to the importance of that and the urgency of that, and you feel the weight of that, whether you're in the business space or you're in the church space, you're carrying yourself as a representative of something bigger, and you got to lead well. So we do conferences, we do, two real big flagship events, and then we do a bunch of one days regionally all across the country. 2018, 2019, we're gonna do a couple internationally. So we're, God's just opening some doors, but at the same time, it's basically going, we want to meet you where you're at and serve you as leaders. And so that's what we do day in and day out. It's a really fun job. I can't believe
and I love the heart. I love your heart, and I love the heart of Catalyst. The way you do, our motto is always serving church leaders, or always helping church leaders, and you have a very similar heartbeat, which is amazing. Now, you told me a stat earlier around the growth of the number of leaders that you've interacted with that blew me away. So, can you share that with folks? Because I the scale of that you serve at is amazing.
Yeah, and you don't. I think for us, it's a little bit overwhelming. You have to take it smaller and just go, hey, this event, we're going to serve these leaders. God, you've given us them to, you've entrusted them to us. And that's a stewardship thing for us. It's usually most Christian leaders, it's either tithe money or their own personal money they're spending to come to this, mm-hmm. their time. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we steward that really well. So yeah. what keeps me up at night is stewarding every moment of their journey while they're with us, mm-hmm. because most of the time these leaders are leading 364 days a year. This might be the one day a year they're not in charge. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And absolutely. So, I want to make sure this is the, we have two goals, that they learn something, that we provide space for them to learn something that makes them a better leader they can do tomorrow, mm-hmm. and space to meet with their Heavenly Father. If we do those mm-hmm. two things, we're winning. And so I say that to kind of set up, we this year, in 2016, we had between our live events
yep.
and digital events and digital engagement, not social media and stuff like that. That's a whole nother mm-hmm. ball of wax. But mm-hmm. We had about 30, 35, 36,000 leaders engaged with us in those ways. This year, I just told the team, our goal was to get that to probably 40, 41, something mm-hmm. like that. But we just hit 56,000.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Leaders engaged with what we're doing. And you know, those are internal goals in a sense. Right, and right. I know it's like, how do we serve more leaders? And honestly, Rich, our goal is to be reaching 100,000 leaders a year, not cumulative, right. not whatever. But right. honestly, you know, when you put numbers like that and you go, that'd be crazy. What we yeah. feel like is God's going, nah, it's too small.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Very
you know,
cool.
So, yeah.
Well, the thing, so I do want to tap in on that a little bit. So you have an opportunity to, at a very large level, get a chance to interact with a lot of different church leaders. You see them, you know, you interact with them. And, you know, we have an opportunity, the church I go to, we run a leadership conference once a year. And it's a fun 2.5 days because we get a chance to interact with leaders, which is really fun. But, you know, when you interact with that many leaders, there must be common things that come up. There are things that yeah. as your heart as a leader that you run into and say, hey, this is an area that I want to speak as one leader to a bunch of leaders that maybe is outside of what we normally talk about at Catalyst. But what is that thing that sticks out to you? What's a problem that you're seeing, that's coming up all the time with the leaders you're interacting with?
Yeah, I would say, and we actually, as I was telling you, we're kind of planning for our 20-year anniversary for Catalyst, which is crazy. It's yep. it's only a year and a half away. And the thing we keep coming back around when it comes to what do we want to spend the next 20 years doing,
right,
is around this issue of wholeness, health, and avoiding burnout. And I mean, literally, I just want to create a phrase that says burnout's not an option.
Right.
It's not an option. And we watch leaders day in and day out getting into issues with addictive things and different sorts of things. And I don't think those happen I'm not saying it can't happen, but at the end of the day, if they're in a healthy friendships, they're in healthy mm-hmm. places, they're mm-hmm. in a healthy place as a leader. I mean, Judah Smith has been spending the last few years on how's your soul? That's a mm-hmm. conversation because mm-hmm. your soul kind of represents the rest of you. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's more than that too. It's we've got to avoid burnout at all costs. I remember mm-hmm. hearing Wayne Cordero from Hawaii do a talk mm-hmm. at Leadership Summit years ago mm-hmm. about literally having a massive anxiety attack that took him out for like 2 to 3 years.
Right.
That's not okay.
No.
And he says not okay. And
right.
so I think for me, it's going, I remember about a year ago, Rich, or 2 years ago, actually, my chairman of the board said, Tyler, you got to start dreaming again. What's one of your dreams mm-hmm. for what we could do, what God could use as Catalyst to do? And mm-hmm. this is an area that just, and I had two friends that had just had to get out of ministry because of it. Mm. And I just kept going, Lord, we got to do something about this.
Absolutely.
We've got to do something about this.
Well, you know, we've been planning, I don't know, this is probably, I don't know, 6-8 weeks we've had this scheduled and we've been going ahead and trying to find this. And, you know, it's interesting that you brought this up. And this is, you know, just to go live and real, folks, outside of
right.
interview land. Just last night, I heard about an acquaintance, a friend in ministry who, you know, it's like so stereotypical, has ended up, you know, his life fell off the rails, ended up having an affair. The church is imploding. It's the widespread, impact has been, great. You know, there's all kinds of pain associated with it. And the thing, I knew we were going to talk about this today. And the thing that, that made me lean in a little bit, my wife and I were just talking about this, was
sure.
this guy was one of those guys who every time I saw him, every time we interact, it's not like he's dead. Every time I see him, he has he's leaned into me and said, hey, where, how are things with your soul? Where, what's happening in your world? Are you slowing down? Are you taking Sabbath? And so I'm like, it's like mind bending, like this is a very real issue. So now what are you seeing? So that I can see that problem clearly. I don't think any of us need to look beyond the church. We all know this. I've said this to so many church leaders. I've interacted with a lot of church leaders, a church of 300, 3000, 30,000. It's a bottomless pit. The work is never done. There's always stuff to happen. So what can we do? Give us some practical handles that we should be thinking about, you know, in our own lives.
Yeah, and to be real in the same ways, Rich, I think one of the things I've discovered over the last month of kind of praying about some things in my own life is that you don't have to be unhealthy to get help. Right. Like, and I think that's a big deal is like, I need to be, whether it's a coach or a counselor or a therapist or a group of guys that I don't want to be cliche, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but like, you know, having people in your life who you've given, because the two guys I mentioned a little while ago, what I watched happen in their lives is when people started pushing on some of the areas that were going to lead them to the places they eventually got to, they moved them out of their circle. And one of the things we'll talk about is just accountability. You got to have, and that's such a long time church standing word or whatever, but it is a legit word, because if you do not let people, now here's the thing, I could put six people around me, but if I never invite them in to speak into that space, then we're just having lunch.
There's
a reality that we have got to be in a circle. People who know you best. Because here's the thing, when people who I know care about me more than anybody say hard things to me, it hurts more than anybody, but I have to take it through the lens of they care about me. They're saying this because they love me. And then I put myself in the position of, I would say that to them. Because I love them. And so, you know, but it's hard. And what we end up doing is that's painful. And so we start moving people to the peripheral that can speak into those spaces, you know, and that's a little painful. So, and then the, one of the other things I would say, we've got a few to talk about, but along those lines is a self-awareness conversation, a knowing yourself conversation. That's my foundational thing for even what I'm writing about right now in my book around being a life-giving leader is you've got to be self-aware.
Right.
Like the best leaders lead from their truest self. And so to do that, you got to know who that is. Who is that Psalm 139 creation that God knit together, he put together, and it even says in Psalm 139, he knit us together while looking at the breadth of our life. So many leaders right now, I think, reach burnout because they've never truly become okay with themselves. They're spinning wheels chasing other people's uniquenesses. And
that's good.
And what you have to know, Rich, is if we all believe scripture's true, that Psalm 139 is true, that God put us, knit us together, made us, why in the world do we believe that our calling doesn't match perfectly with that? But we find ourselves chasing all these other people through social media, through this thing, that, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, why am I so tired? Well, it's because you're not yourself right now. You're not comfortable in your own skin. You know how uncomfortable it is and tiring to not be comfortable in your own skin? Now, look, I'm not saying we're not going to grow all the time and keep fighting to get better. But you know what? I'm going to fight to be me because I think the best me is the me that God created and had in mind at the beginning. And so that allows me to start going. I can tell, and the red flags for me go up, Rich, when I'm acting counter to that wiring. You know, so for example, if I start becoming really negative all of a sudden, that is not my natural wiring. I am naturally a very positive person. So red flags start going up in my mind and my wife's mind and my team's mind that go, hey, what's going, there's something more going on there. It's like when you have an employee and all of a sudden they're acting counter to what you've always seen. Nine times out of 10, it's not because they're having a bad day. It's because there's a bad something going on, swirling around in their world that it just, you know, we wish that people could divorce life from work, but I don't believe that. Like, I know you're going to come in with life. So anyway, I think that's two of the first things. I don't know if you want to
talk about the, you know, have you seen in leaders' lives that, and even in your own life, in your own thinking on this, you know, the role of, even recreation, this idea of recharging and like, you know, trying, you know, getting engaged in something, you know, that that brings life to you, that kind of is outside of the productive side. I know for me, if I'm just always work, and I don't actually take time to do something else, and not clear what that is. Have you seen that been a kind of a part of this equation?
It has to be like, Dr. Sam Chand always talks about the fact that, it's like a budget. Mm-hmm. Either you choose where your money goes or it's going to go where it wants to go.
Yeah.
Same thing with stress. Yeah. I'm going to either choose to relieve stress in a healthy way or stress is going to get relieved.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen if I don't choose where it goes, it's going to go in a really unhealthy way.
Right.
And so for me, I've discovered over the years, like golf is one of those things for me. And here's why. A lot of people are like, you're going to really take 4 hours out of your day.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'll take five actually if I want. Here's why, Rich. For me, it's one of the only things I do in life that I have to think about something else.
Right.
So I have to think about the shot and how far it is and this and that. And I'm outside and most of the time I'm with friends. And so it really is one of those windows in my life that work gets removed.
Yep.
My brain gets, you know, like I literally just have to change gears and think about something that's recreational, that's fun. I love to fish too, but even when I fish, it's quiet, it's great, but I'm thinking about work a lot of times.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
what are those things that you do? Maybe it's going to see movies. I don't care what it is, but you've got to choose to relieve stress. Now, what kind of movies you watch is a whole nother story, but.
You know, and it's funny on this podcast, so we're like 200 episodes in or over that. I don't know how we are, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I always ask, and it's literally the last question. It's a goofy question. I don't know that I've ever talked about why I asked that question, which is what do you do for fun in your life? And it really drives to this issue because and the thing I've noticed again over high performance leaders who are, you know, I'm interviewing here, people who are leading growing churches that are, you know, they're the top 1-2% of the fastest growing churches in the country. All of those people, they know what their recreation thing is. They know they're not like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, everyone makes the joke like, well, when I get time for it, but outside of that, you know, it's good. That's good. All right. Okay. Fun. Are there other things we should be thinking about?
Yeah.
You know, you talked about accountability. Let's talk about that. I think that's an issue. Like you say, it's a church word. It's something we talk about, but let's get real. How do we actually build accountability into our lives that will withstand us trying to pull away from that accountability?
Yeah. I think if you want to ask for a sign of what a leader looks like, look at their circle of friends. If they don't have meaningful relationships with friends, that's an issue.
Yep.
And the number of seminary professors, pastors I know that are in 60s and their 70s that don't have good friends.
Right.
And that's heartbreaking to me because not only are they lonely, but they have worked so hard or they've done whatever they have and removed the life-givingness that comes with good friendships. And I remember two of my buddies from college, two of my best friends, one of their dads said to me one time, he said, do you realize how special what the three of you have is?
Mm.
And I was like, no, these guys are, you know, knuckleheads, like whatever.
Exactly, really? Exactly.
He's like, this is a great, no. But I said, yeah, I do. And he said, because Tyler, I don't have friends like that.
Mm.
I have a lot of people in my life I know, older, you know, relatives, friends, that don't have close friends as they got in their 60s and their 70s. And that's because they didn't nurture friendships. And you know what? We talk about accountability here at Catalyst all the time. From a team perspective, here's what you know is as me as the boss, everybody expects me to hold them accountable. That's kind of like the boss role, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they don't expect, what most organizations don't figure out is peer accountability. Because let me tell you what, when your peer says, hey, that behavior goes below the standard what we've all agreed on to be on this team, woo, man, that's a whole
different thing. Yep.
Of like, wow. And that's what I've done. I've circled the team at times and said, look, eyeball to eyeball with this circle. These expectations I've laid out are what you have to agree on to sit in this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting in this circle, I'm not the only one that's going to hold you accountable to this.
Right.
You sitting in the circle says you've agreed to this. So therefore, everybody in this circle has a right to hold you accountable to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, now all of a sudden, and I think for leaders that can't necessarily be that open or that connected because they're 1-2%, whatever. I heard Craig Groeschel say this. We actually put it on our Catalyst Insider last week.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how he always continues to fight to take himself off of the pedestal or off of the platform and have great friends. He goes, because when I get to the end of my career, I don't want to be known as a pastor has no friends.
Right. Yes.
Matter of fact, I don't even care if I'm known as a pastor. I want to be known as a great friend to the people around me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's a posture, Rich. Mm-hmm. It's a choice to make. And are you really going to let people in? But the problem, the reason I don't think a lot of people do is they don't see the obstacles coming down the road. Right now, I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need it. Whatever. Right. You don't even realize what you're investing in now is going to protect you in the future. And man, it's are we choosing the short cut, the short play, or are we going to play this thing for the long term? We want to be in this for the long term, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, that's very good.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that's fantastic. I think there are, just to kind of give one layer lower or deeper than that, one of the things I've noticed is a lot of particularly senior pastors can struggle with that because of the uniqueness of their role. Even in a large church with a large staff, say you've got 30, 40, 50, 60 staff on your team, you know, what they do is so different than everyone else. And so one of the things I've said to the senior pastors I've served with is, you know, finding peers in your world is critical. Finding other people and even other pastors who you can get beyond the like, oh, how many people did you have at Christmas Eve? Like get beyond that conversation to, you know, actual friendship and, you know, being authentic can be hard. What are you finding or what advice would you give to a leader who's listening and say, yes, how do I find those friends? How do I cultivate that? That even the thought of that makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably come to Catalyst. That'd be fair. You know what? I don't know. I think it's a challenge. I mean, I think one of the things, when I say I go play golf, I like who I meet.
Yep.
A lot of them aren't in my circle. A lot of them aren't whatever. Yep. But they're good business leaders or they're good, whatever. And we have some things in common. I do agree for pastors of like that are at a certain level to where they need peer friendship. Yep. Here's the thing. Has anybody ever called you that says, hey, you, that feels like a peer in your world, Rich? And you've been like, no, I don't have time for you. I don't want to talk to you ever.
Yep.
Just call them, like reach out to, I mean, I've yet to meet very few. And we work with a lot of well-known people. I've on one hand, maybe I could count the people that I don't think would say yes to an invitation like that.
Right.
Just coffee, even just, hey, can I fly out and have lunch with you? I just want to kind of pick your brain on how you've sustained this long, how you've done this. Who knows what friendships come out of.
So yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good key. It could be other ministry leaders, could be business leaders within your own church. You know, I've seen that where, you know, senior pastor, because there can be other entrepreneurs or business owners, particularly in your church, who see what you're doing through their lens. They're like, oh, that person's kind of in charge here. And we have the same issues. We're trying to make payroll, you know, all that kind of thing. And it has some of the same pressure that a lead pastor, senior pastor would have. And actually, you can find some interesting, you know, camaraderie there. And also, you know, obviously help for, you know, for what you're doing. What other things should we be thinking about as we're wrestling through trying to, you know, fight burnout in our lives?
A couple else that come to mind. One is you got to take the pressure off a little bit. We've tried to create a theology of work around here, and I don't even know if it's right, but here's what, you know, but this is the unseminary project.
Yeah,
you know,
so right, we're allowed exactly. To say, it's well, fine. Exactly.
But here it's kind of a combination of a quote, I forget even who said it, but it's the idea that we're going to work every day like it depends on us, and we're going to sleep knowing it depends on God. And so
that's good.
But you got to set an expectation for yourself that's healthy. Yep. That says, I mean, when I first started here, Brad Lominick was leading Catalyst, and this was over 5 years ago. And I had come from North Point Community Church with Andy, and I'd seen Andy's always done this talk about choosing to cheat and how does that work. So when I first came over, most of the team here was single, and their hours were just way longer than what I was okay with. Cause at that time I had a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Right.
And my wife and I had kind of agreed that the morning she's okay without me, it's that, as she calls it, the witching hour at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, you know, they just lose their minds.
Yes.
And so I'm an early person. I'm a morning person. So for me, it was a better schedule. And so I remember saying to Brad in the interview, I said, hey, man, I just want to create clear expectations on the front end that are you cool if I come in at 6:30, 7, and I'm out by 3:30 or 4 every day? No, I'm not going to do meetings. I'm not going to I'm wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I said, because that gets me home and gives me 2 hours with my kids before they go to bed.
Right.
And I was like, now listen. And I said, that's how serious I am about this. Now I get it, dude. We go on a that trust me, we put in the hours. I'm not worried.
Like, right, right.
And even that's doing the hours. But I said, if that's not going to work for this, that's okay. No big deal. No harm, right. No foul. And I'll stay where I'm at.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, it's not a problem. And it was hard at first because I was counter to what almost 95% of the staff did.
Right.
But I took the pressure off of feeling like I had to do what everybody else was doing. I just knew that I'm going to give you my very best. And for me to give you my very best, it's in this window. Because my very best is when my family's in a good place. Mm-hmm. And that includes me being home for them. Mm-hmm. Because we travel enough that by golly, when I'm home, I'm going to have a consistent schedule to be home. And that goes into the next one, Rich, which really is this conversation. So many people want to use the word work-life balance. I don't like that term.
Right.
I get the term, but I don't think it makes sense. Because most of the time you think balance, it's you've got to equal way. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure. If I'm gone for 2 days, I'm taking 2 days off. If I'm that doesn't work in the real life, in the real world.
Yep.
What it is rhythm. Like I like that word better because I come and go in these rhythms. So my family has learned that our spring and fall rhythm is at a higher RPM than December, January, and the summertime. Mm-hmm. We can kind of find ourselves slowing down. Like we're closing our offices for 2 weeks over the holidays. Like Fantastic. We've never been able to officially close the office, but we just need to, and nobody's buying Catalyst tickets right now, so who cares, right? But we've got to get ready because, like I said, we're going from 9 to 17 events next year. Well, we need to be fully breathing, fully alive,
yes,
ready to go. So I think for me, it's let's take the pressure off of wrong expectations, not just of other people but of ourselves, and trust the Lord that he's gonna fill in the gaps. And then also, what is that rhythm that you've learned versus balance of going, well, I'm the first one to say, hey, we worked our tails off last week. You're off Monday. Don't come in. Just take a breath. But I can't give them the week off if we took a week. Like it doesn't.
Right. It doesn't balance out. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I like rhythm better is it, but you have to pay attention to rhythm or it'll get off quick.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the, and I've said this to so many leaders over the years as I've been leading in, you know, local church that, we can live with this fallacy that just around the corner, it'll get a little better. So it happens all year long. Like, and I've seen this with leaders who've come in or maybe new to the ministry. They're like, well, we'll just get through Christmas and things will get better. Well, the problem is New Year's, January is massive for us. And then where you're like, okay, I'll just get through January. Well, Easter's about to come. And then you're like, well, summer's coming. Well, like summer's when we ramp up and get ready for the fall. And then fall is huge. It is a never ending, system there. And if we're not finding a way, like you say, to find a balance within that and to take the time when you can, to unplug when you should, you'll get run down really, really quickly.
Well, and that's a lottery mindset, right?
Yes.
One day it's going to click and then all the mistakes I'm making are going to get fixed because we're going to have the money we need to fix those bad financial decisions. But you can't do that with your life and you can't do that with your finances. But absolutely. At the end of the day, it's going, you know what? No, this is, and Rich, I'm taking, I mean, obviously these two, but at the beginning of January, I'm going to go do some work on me.
Yep.
And so, and I had to walk through it with my executives and they were like 100%.
That's great.
And it's 5 days without a phone. It's 5 days for
To
begin. But my wife needs it. I need it. I want to be upgraded in areas that I just keep kind of staying in mud with. And I'm like, no, I want to grow and I want to be a better leader. And it goes back to saying, I had to get over the fact that healthy leaders, unhealthy leaders aren't the only ones that need to go get worked on or think through things or process or retreat or do the things they do. It's all of us. We've got to focus on getting better. And it is not the time to do it, but it is the perfect time to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Well, this is fantastic. This has been life-giving today for sure. I'm sure there's leaders that are listening in today that are being challenged by this. Is there anything else you want to share on this before we move on with the rest of our episode?
No, I think the last thing I would say is back to the, like, we just have to remember who God is. This is his thing. Yep. You know, when you're running a ministry and you're sitting here going, how is this going to get funded? Well, it's going to get funded when you know that you are in the middle of God's plan for that thing, when you're in his will, because you're spending time with the Lord. We are supposed to be walking in step with the Spirit, and you cannot do that apart from the Spirit.
Yep.
How do you connect with God on a consistent basis? How do you remember? I tell our team all the time, we talk about God's faithfulness to grow our faith in the future. And so celebrating what's going on, it's seeing God's face. In the Old Testament, they used to build altars to remember every time they walked by that those rocks. Mm-hmm. Remember what God did there? Are you kidding me? It grows their faith for the future. Right. And so I think it's the same thing, man. It's how are we, before we've got to create a culture of celebration and remembering God's faithfulness, or we will burn out because we're not paying attention to it. And all of a sudden we think it's on us. And, you know, it's there, this is his thing. He wants to fund it. He wants it to be amazing. He wants people to come to Jesus. Let's make sure we're in tune with that.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. And we will get to the what's your favorite thing to do for recreation question that we do today. We got Tyler Regan, who's the president of Catalyst, you know, and just a great organization you need to be tracking with. You need to go to at least two of their events next year to help them fill all those. So I can't really, you know, that would be great. What's an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you in your work?
So we use Slack. We switched to Slack this year for communicating. Most of the team loves it. I'm a little bit, I don't know. The reason I struggle with it sometimes, Rich, is because when you read it, it disappears, or it doesn't disappear, but it's not sitting somewhere that I mean,
yep.
So I find myself in tension. I don't go read the notification until I'm ready to pay attention to it. So, but I like it because it's all right here and it's quick. It's quicker than email. It's what I hate email in general. So, Slack is good. We actually just started this week, a new team building project manager, like, you know, almost like an Asana or, what's the one with the backpack thing?
Basecamp.
It's similar to that, but it's one that's kind of created with a sister company of ours, and we can make it our own. So a couple of those kind of things. But I'm just relational. So and emojis really have changed my life. So I think it's honestly the greatest thing that's ever been invented. Truthfully, so
that's so funny. That is the next killer app. That thing is going to be
spectacular.
It's so funny. I saw Kerry Newhoff, mutual friend of ours. He, same thing. Like, he's been using those and he can't even believe how funny they are. And I'm like,
oh my gosh,
dude, they look goofy. But maybe I'm just jealous.
The best is when you see somebody recording one.
Yes,
that's the best, because you find I'm a unicorn, so I'm like, you know, like you find yourself kind of acting like one of those things. It's pretty amazing.
That's amazing. That's great. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
Probably the one. It's most people would expect a leadership guide not to talk about a nonfiction story, but the book called The Boys in the Boat, Peb Jackson, a guy mentioned to me to me years and years ago, and my wife read it, and then I was like, she's like, you got to read this, and so I listened to a lot of books in the car. I kept driving around. I was late to everything because I was like, I gotta finish this. But it's the story of the 1936 Olympic team from the U.S. in Berlin with the Nazi regime and all this stuff. Yeah. But the art of rowing is the most team-related sport you've ever. So as somebody who's passionate about building great teams, I just could not get enough of the descriptions of how they work together and how they compromise with each other and how everything has to be in sync and everything. So it, you know, for me, it was a leadership book through and through, even though it was a great story. So and then I just finished the movie just came out, but Wonder is another.
Right.
I mean, dude, I was bawling in the car because I got kids that age, and it's just, but it's how you treat people at the end of the day. And I just feel like that's such a God story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those guys,
that's great.
I mean, I'm always leadership stuff, Rich, but those, I think it's important for us to read things that are different than that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. What's another ministry that you're looking to, that inspires you? Now I'm leading in on this. You have a lot of, you know, a lot of things you look at around the world. Sure. What's a ministry that you're looking, at these days?
There's a lot. For me, Hillsong is one of those, they stay at the forefront. Brian and Bobby are amazing leaders. Like, and one of the reasons I know that is because I know a lot of their next level, the group that's right under them.
Yep.
And they are about as high capacity, respectful, humble, long-term leaders I've ever seen. Yep. I mean, Cass Langton, who's the global director of worship and creative arts, all the bands report to her, all the creative is there. She's been there 16, 17 years. She is an unbelievable talent, but her love for them shows me what kind of leaders they are.
Yep.
And so to be able to kind of create this global movement over the last decade, really, with the new campuses and all that stuff.
It's amazing.
But combination with just their passion for creativity,
yep,
and the way that they're pushing the envelope with music. I mean, mm-hmm, their music is still, I mean, it is, it's hard to find better. It no, really
it's
is.
True. It's so true.
I'm just amazed at how they continue to create amazing leaders like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. The influence that Hillsong has had is, it's hard to find another, you know, church that has had that level of influence or yeah, movement that has yeah, had that level of influence. It's incredible to watch, you know, what happens there. And, you know, it's cool to see them expand all over the world, literally.
So. Well, and you don't even have to, you don't even have to line up with how they do church or their style.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Or like their denominational style to see and appreciate. You're playing their music anyway, whether you yes, like it or not. I know that. It's so true. It's like, man, give them some credit. These guys yes, are seeking the Lord.
Yep.
They love Jesus and they're pursuing him the best they can. And they are doing it globally. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's very cool. If you get 15 minutes with any leader alive, you've got 15 minutes with a lot of leaders. So who would you want to get that with and why?
Well, other than you on this podcast, sure. I had to think through that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty, that was, you know, thanks. What? As I mentioned I love golf. We'll talk about this again in a second, but there, I would want 15 minutes with Jack Nicklaus. To me, I don't know if you can see this in my Skype, but right back there in the middle, I got a signed picture of Nicklaus Palmer and Player. It's one of the coolest things that happened.
That's very cool.
And I watched a Faraday interview with Jack Nicklaus, and I have seen the way he carries himself right, on the course and off the course. Mm-hmm. There is not a golfer that has carried himself better than that guy.
Mm.
And I just want to talk to him. I want to know, how did you do this? He shares a story about his dad teaching him that when you lose, you be the best loser on the planet. And so that's why you watch when he got second, 100 times or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The way in which he treated the winner when he shook their hands, it was like he wanted them to win.
Right. Yes.
And then when he was an incredible winner that he was honoring to the people he beat.
Yes.
I would love to spend time with him. I think he's an amazing leader and he carries, and it's a sport that I just have so much love for. So I think it would be a cool conversation.
That's cool. Well,
I'm working on it. I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That'd be great. Maybe a Catalyst golf tour, you know, something like that.
Love it.
John and maybe Andy and, you know, all of these guys.
Andy don't play golf.
yeah, exactly. Anyways, we've talked about, you know, you love golf. You've talked about fishing. Is there anything else you do in your life just to have fun, you know, hang, kick back, relax and all that?
You know, at the end of the day, Rich, is, and that's the shallow part of me, which has really driven my whole personality, which is I want to have fun. I want to enjoy life. I want to have abundant life. A huge part of that is hanging out with my kids and my wife
yep,
and our friends. And you know what? I mean, I look at my two boys and I think what could be more impactful or powerful? That's why I even ended up writing the book that I've been finishing, is because somebody said to me, what if you wrote it just for those two guys to know everything you believe on that subject?
Very
and
cool.
I thought I'd do it for that. You know, yeah, so I love boys. It. I love my wife and finding time to spend with them is so, you know, and we play golf together. Me and the boys do.
They're oh, it's, okay, cool.
So
yeah.
It's just kind of how do we just have fun together and have a good time. So
that's cool. Well, as we're wrapping up here, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book? It comes out fall 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
Give us a sense of just a little bit of that, a little preview. I'd love to have you back on when that launches, but tell us a little bit about that. And then how can people get in touch with Catalyst and you and all that to learn about what's going on in your world?
Yeah, that's great. It's called The Life-Giving Leader. And the idea is that we're going to teach you how to learn, we want you to learn to lead from your truest self. But it's simple. At our events, we always pray as a team, Lord, allow grace to flow from our stage and not be required for our stage. In other words, we need to be so good at what we do and so stewarding the people's time that grace and prayer and what is flowing from our stage but is not required for us.
Mm.
That's the same question I ask for leaders. Is life flowing from you or is life being required for you because you're not leading well? Because you're not handling things, you're making bad decisions. You know, you've been there, you've worked for somebody probably in your life that has taken that from you. It's required that.
Right.
But I tell you what, you will always have a team when you give life to that team.
Absolutely.
So that's the conversation is how do you do that? How do you do it well so that life is always flowing from you as a leader? And obviously for that to happen, life has to flow into you from the Lord through your quiet, you know, your personal time, your relationship with him. It's got to be an overflow. So really just diving into that, I was told one time that if I wasn't successful in my next career, it was because of my personality.
Mm.
And it was a really kind thing. And that just changed me. It was a defining moment as a leader in the fact that we've already talked about a little bit, but I don't believe that's true. I believe God uniquely gave me this personality. He uniquely made me for a unique purpose. And now I feel like I'm kind of living right in it. And there's a process to go through to be confident in that, to accept to move forward and be okay being you, you know? So that's a lot of what we're talking about. But, you know, we've got so much going on. You can always keep up with Catalyst either at catalystleader.com or Catalyst Leader on all the social media channels. And then I'm just TylerRagin.com, R-A-G-I-N, on social media, but also, you know, all those places.
Great. This is fantastic. I really appreciate you being on the show. All the best for 2018 and excited to see what you guys do next. Thanks for being on the show.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.